after six episodes, the Kenobi series is finally over. We go over the final episode, episode six, that came out yesterday. We review the series as a whole, give you our thoughts, our opinions. And, you know, we always get things right here on Chatooine, despite me being the minority on the show. But all that and more here on Chatooine. Welcome back to Chatooine, everyone. I'm your host, Star Wars Only, joined with Darth Daddy Lunga, the Goldman. And is that Palpatine's I see? Is that
indeed
Anakin motherfucking Skywalker over here? He's got the hair of him now.
We finally got man. It's been a long 4 weeks.
Anakin's hair.
You've grown so much. It's like little Annie's become a teenager now.
Look at me now.
Oh wait, show me that shirt. Wait, show me the shirt you have on.
Wait, it's been 4 weeks. I'm ready to trigger you guys.
There we go.
Oh, Dale, what the fuck?
Yo, it's misspelled. It's supposed to be an AH at the end.
Oh, Walker.
Walker.
Gotta love it.
Glad to have you back, Palpa Memes. If you guys are new here, we're dual streaming right now on the Star Wars Only channel and the Chatooine channel. So if you're watching on my channel, the Star Wars Only channel, please click the link in the description. Subscribe to the Chatooine show. We're going to be doing like different clips and stuff on there. And we're going to leave all the latest episodes of Chatooine up on that channel once the show is over. But if you are new here on Chatooine, we talk about the news, topics, debates, and simply chat about Star Wars. If you want to listen to the show, you can do that on Spotify and anywhere else you listen to your podcast. If you are listening right now, please give us a 5-star review, support the channel, support the show. And if you leave a super chat in the stream at the end of every single show, like the last 10 to 15 minutes, we're going to dedicate all that time strictly to answering super chats, just so you guys don't feel like we're missing them. We'd rather get them all done at once. You're not obligated to do so at all, but it just guarantees an answer to your question. And as you guys know, we do give all the right answers, even if they're not correct. But
some of us.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. So me and Goldman have been going at it on Twitter about something not related to Kenobi. That's okay.
I joined in on it, too. But the key word here is I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong.
Exactly. That's how we do it here on Chatooine. But one thing that feels right at the moment is the finale to the Kenobi series. It's here. It's done. I mean, can you guys believe it? It was like a month long of a show, pretty much, because two episodes came out during Celebration, which was in May.
Yep.
Hasn't even been a full month since Celebration, and we're now done with the series. Series is over. How do you guys want to go about this? I feel like it's more proper to talk about the series finale, the last episode that just came out. We haven't heard anything from fucking Palpamemes, I think, since the show debuted. And then me and Goldman, we talked about these episode five last week, and then Lunga, you were gone for last week as well, so we've missed your thoughts on that. So it's been a minute, so I think we can do the finale at the beginning, and then we can kind of talk about the series as a whole after. Does that sound good?
That sounds right. Good to me.
I like
okay. Works for me.
I will start off by saying I think the finale is maybe the best, if not the second best episode in the series. For me, the first and the last episode are just like, oh man, they really do it well. And of course, spoilers, if you guys haven't seen the show, I don't know why you'd be watching this if you haven't, but spoiler alert, there's one moment that this actually got me kind of like feeling some emotion. And it was seeing my boy Qui-Gon at the end, like him showing up. I think that was a beautiful way to bring him back kind of in the series. I love the Vader versus Obi-Wan fight in this. I thought I was actually going to dislike it. A lot of my problems with the series are still relevant in this final episode, but the story has a lot more highs in this than previous episodes. It feels a little bit more focused in this finale. And I mean, honestly, it didn't feel like so much of what I would call basic fan service that I disliked about the last episode and most of the episodes leading up to this. So I really am surprised at how much I like this final one. I'm not a big fan of Reva still. I really feel like that's a whole nother conversation in of itself, but I feel like her story, even with this last episode, there's so many moments where I feel like it kind of, where I get interested in Kenobi and Vader reflecting on their past relationship and just them dealing with the Force as a whole. That's so interesting to me. And then we cut to this other story of Reva constantly and her relationship with Luke now, and the kid literally got attacked by some thief in the night pretty much, and then like goes on about his life like nothing. Like stuff like that, it's just, there's small nitpicks, and I will acknowledge they are nitpicks, but it's a nitpick every 5 minutes in this show that keeps adding up that I dislike. But the overall, the story of this, it is good now. It is satisfying at the end. You know, I'm happy with the conclusion of Kenobi and everything. I'm sure we'll talk about a possibility of a season two later on. But I am content at the moment with the way the first season ended, but mainly this episode six ended. And I'm happy with this episode on its own and as a whole. But that's my quick little summary thoughts. Lunga, what did you think of this final episode?
It is my favorite and the one I hate the most at the same time.
Oh, I love that.
If we go with Ben's arc and Vader's arc, perfect. It was just spectacular from beginning to end. I would say from the beginning of the series, but this episode, it was great. The tension was there the entire time. They stayed true to how Vader would react to things. I was even okay because I had three major nitpicks, which is kind of a oxymoron, right? But I had three major nitpicks. The one was Leia, and it got worse. I was an apologist at the beginning, and it got worse as the series went on. Leia, like, knowing Ben so much that what happened in New Hope, and I'm not talking just that message, but, you know, just like when he died and she was consoling Luke, that none of that ever came up, even a mention. Was kind of off to me. So that's one of my nitpicks, but I'll get to that later because it kind of goes this. The other one involves Reva. I was on board for her. I was on board for the character. Now, everyone was talking about the leaks and how this most likely the ending was changed, supposedly, based on the leaks because they're doing a season two. And I think now if this the parts that we're talking about, that's the issue. And the other nitpick was... the Vader thing. I haven't felt this since. I thought they wrapped that up great in this. I thought they made it so compelling. Again, spoiler guys, you get to the very end and you see, and this is what they've been echoing in the comics, right? The Vader comics, where he's like subvertedly constantly doing all these things that he wants to do under Palpatine's radar. And he has to hide this from him because he knows Palpatine will shut him down immediately. So this thing about Kenobi, Palpatine's like, oh, you still have feelings for your old master. And he's like, no, he's nothing. And he basically shut him out. So Vader had realized, I cannot do anything involving Obi-Wan anymore, or Palpatine's going to find out and there's going to be problems. So that's why he didn't go after him anymore. So that's the explanation of why he hasn't felt this since. So that I thought they did great. So Ben's arc and Vader's spectacular. The fight, the reverse Ahsoka thing where he hit the other eye instead and the reveal and the way they spoke to each other, it was so good. And Ben's resolution when Vader says, you didn't kill Anakin, I did. You know, that's where Ben had his closure. He's like, all right, I can let this go. But the Reva thing, I was certain she was going to die, right? I'm like, she's going to die. She's going to have a redemption arc. We knew that was coming. She was going to turn and she was going to die. Now, I didn't expect it to where she wasn't technically even a Darksider. She was pretty much just wanting revenge, which basically means she is a Darksider, but she wasn't working for Vader. It wasn't that she wanted to kill Jedis. She just wanted to kill Vader. And then what they did in this last episode, it almost felt like they had to just come up with a reason to do something with her, right? She has now been stabbed through the belly twice and been okay. Qui-Gon can't survive it, okay? That doesn't make any sense.
She doesn't have rage longer, that's why.
Star Wars only and I discussed this.
All right, she was going on with the pain, right? It was a Kylo thing. She was popping herself in the belly, right, to get to the feel the pain, to keep moving forward.
That's the dark side, Longa.
But here, this is how and it's disappointing, not because I don't like the character. I was compelled by the character at the beginning. And what they did to me, I feel, is a complete disservice. You made this character pointless to me now. You have her do all this stuff, reveal that she wants to kill Vader. He stabs her, which realizes he stabbed her when she was a kid. She survives both times. And then her plan now becomes, which is split, this episode split with her plan. Oh, I know about Luke. He's Anakin's son. I'm going to go kill him to get my revenge on Anakin, who doesn't even know Luke exists.
What was anything that would benefit Anakin and Vader? He'd be like, oh, thank God.
How is that? But he didn't even know. That's the thing. He didn't even know. So how is that revenge? And she drags herself injured to Tatooine, and she's fighting off two, you know, homesteaders who's carrying a version of a futuristic shotgun, and she can't do anything about it. You know, they're throwing things at her. She can't use the force. She can't stop them. And then she has a meltdown when she sees Ben. It was just dumb. Okay? Like, if they did something where they were all heading towards together and it was all three of them in one spot, and then she tries to help Ben because she has her redemption or her turn, and Vader kills her, and then we go to the battle between Vader and Ben. That would have been much better to me. I would have been okay with the character's arc. But this whole thing, it almost feels like, wait, we want to use her for season two. So this is what we're going to do now. And that, the character would have been much better to me if they had her die at the end of the series. It would have been much more noble. Yeah, it would have been a little redundant because you always have that redemption and death kind of thing. You know, it happens a lot. But at least it would have made sense. This didn't make any sense to me. And it's such a conundrum for me because the stuff with Ben and Vader was so fucking good that it's like, I keep thinking about this and it keeps drawing it. That's why it's my favorite and I hated it the most out of all of them.
All right, Palpamemes, we haven't heard from you in a hot minute, so before we get your take on the whole series, yeah, let us know at least.
I feel like I have to give my take on the whole series before I come in.
No. Just to episode six. Fine. You don't have to respond to me or Lunga's takes either.
With Lunga, I kind of semi-agree with you for the most part when it comes to Reva. I like the character. For me, I really like the concept of Reva more than anything. The idea, the concept, those ideas are there, and the foundations I really, really like. Right, the idea of a youngling wanting to get revenge on Vader because her friends or whatever, she saw them get killed right in front of her. Very, very intriguing, very unique, something I don't think any of us expected. I love that. But I do agree there's definitely some issues with the ending and with her on Tatooine. I mean, we can talk about the choreography aspect of it where it's like, okay, why doesn't she just kill, slice Owen and Beru like that? But I would argue, well, she probably thinks they're connected to Vader, so they probably want them to suffer like she did because Luke is kind of their kid. She even says, you know, you treat Luke like he's even your own. So there's explanation for that. But I mean, the thing for me the most obviously is just Kenobi and Vader. Kenobi's arc is one of the best arcs we've seen in Star Wars. It's right up there on top three or five for me. I can't be more thankful enough that they wrote it in the way that they wrote it. They didn't throw a bunch of fan service in. They didn't do just stuff for no reason. Everything really did make sense for Kenobi and Vader, and I will always appreciate that. We can just talk about, I love just that kind of poetic parallel with, we can talk about Ahsoka cutting his helmet, and then Obi-Wan cuts the other side, and then you look at Luke and plot armor. I mean, hey, what's Star Wars without some plot armor, right? You know, then we can look at Luke at the end taking the helmet off. It's a nice little... It's nice, okay? I like that. The episode, I just love the episode. But I do agree the Reva stuff felt contrived. It felt kind of like, I feel like she had another scene leaving Tatooine or something. Something was changed there, and then they decided, well, we don't really want to kill her off, especially with all this controversy, you know, those racial controversies that were going on before, or like after the first or second episode, I can't remember. I did see a lot of people come out after they had read the leaks that she was going to get killed. They're like, oh, that's not going to look good on Lucasfilm after all of this. So perhaps they changed it really, really like last minute. But I love this episode and I love the music in it too. The music definitely stood out more than any of the other ones. And I'm not just talking about the original Star Wars themes that they played, but the Kenobi theme that plays in a more operatic sense whenever Kenobi or Ben is fighting Vader on that planet. That was some cool stuff. I love the choreography. I love that classic prequel Jedi fighting style. I know a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people love it. I personally liked it. It was good to where it wasn't overdone. It wasn't too dancey like it was in the prequels. It was a nice blend of just kind of prequel and OT fighting style. And I really liked that. But one thing that I kind of have a gripe for, and we can say it's a nitpick, I'm not sure, but it's Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon, I feel like if you're going to bring Liam Neeson, they wasted him. I would have loved to see the end of the show be him walking to his cave, him meditating, maybe have some rocks floating around him, because we know Jedi do that when they want to get close to the Force. And then Qui-Gon shows up and, you know, he explains, you know, I've been here the whole time, you just couldn't see me type of thing. And then they have a nice conversation about where the future goes for the Jedi and stuff. And then boom, it ends there, right? That would have been, I would have preferred that a lot more than this awkward shot of Liam Neeson, and he says whatever line. I was beginning to think you weren't coming or something like that. It's nice. I like it. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel like if you're going to bring Qui-Gon back, I felt like it was underwhelming, I guess. But that and the kind of Revan Tatooine, those are my only problems with the episode. Other than that, it was phenomenal. I have no other complaints other than that. It was great.
All right, hit us, Goldman.
For one, I agree with your point about Qui-Gon. Like, I'm not interested in simply seeing Qui-Gon. I'm interested in seeing his potential conversations with Obi-Wan, which we really didn't get. So I agree with you there about Qui-Gon. Besides that, I loved almost everything about this episode. I was so happy with what happened. I was a little traumatized from Book of Boba Fett that we would get a piss-poor crap finale, but I was so glad that they ended it, maybe not perfectly, but enough for me to where I am extremely satisfied. Now, we discussed it. This episode's really divided into two parts. There's the Reva story and then the Obi-Wan and Vader story, so I'll discuss the Obi-Wan part first. This whole series, I wanted to see a character arc from Obi-Wan, where he began the story as, you know, a depressed, broken man, and he ended the series as the somewhat optimistic Jedi, you know, someone who values the Jedi teachings again. That's what I wanted to see on the arc. So he's fighting Vader. The fight was cool. You know, I like the fight. Again, I still don't like how Vader buries Obi-Wan and just walks away. Like, I always feel like Vader would just, like, 100% make sure Obi-Wan's dead, but I'm not going to get too upset about that. So the part of the episode that just made this entire series worth it for me was when the helmet's cracked and Obi-Wan just starts crying and he apologizes to Vader. He's like, I'm sorry, Anakin. I'm sorry for everything. To me, that made this whole series worth it because realistically, I saw someone make a comment and it really bothered me. They were like, this series, what it did was it took Obi-Wan from where he was at the end of Revenge of the Sith, regressed him, and then gave him an arc where he concluded where he was at the end of Revenge of the Sith. And I completely disagree with that. Because in Revenge of the Sith, we don't really see Obi-Wan's true reaction to what happened in that movie. Like, he gets upset that Anakin turned to the dark side, he fights them, and then he takes Luke to Tatooine and it ends. Realistically, any human being who goes through what Obi-Wan went through would be so extremely depressed and so ridden with guilt. And that's just what I wanted to see in the series. And it began with that. And once he found out that Vader was alive, I was like, okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to see. So then in this finale, right, he's ridden with guilt, and he now has a chance to apologize to Vader. I think a lot of people don't understand how therapeutic a simple apology can be to someone you feel like you've wronged significantly. And part of the immense guilt that Obi-Wan felt was that he felt he failed Anakin. So him simply apologizing must be so cathartic for him. And even though Vader didn't accept the apology because, you know, he's Darth Vader, he's not Anakin, That was still so crucial to Obi-Wan's story for me, and I loved seeing it. And then he fights, you know, he says goodbye, and then, you know, we get some typical good Vader lines where he's like, you didn't kill Anakin, I did. Which, in a way, is kind of a little bit of accountability because, you know, at first he's like, you did this to me. But then at the end he says, I did this to myself. So that was a little interesting. So I just love everything about the Obi-Wan portion of this finale. Just that apology and him overcoming his guilt and then becoming the Jedi we want him to see at the end of the series. I love that. Now, going to the Reva story. I mean, I didn't hate it. Did it feel unnecessary? Yes. I think that the biggest reason why a lot of people have a problem with Reva is because she goes on this arc, but her arc doesn't really impact Obi-Wan personally. So thus, it kind of makes her story feel irrelevant. If she went on an arc that deeply tied into Obi-Wan's story, then yes. But her role in this story, in terms of Obi-Wan's actual character arc, is just getting him off Tatooine to get Leia. Because after that, he completes his character arc with his confrontation with Vader, not because of Reva. So Reva goes and, you know, she's hunting down Luke. I didn't mind it so much that, you know, she's trying to get revenge on Vader. You know, people make a good point that Vader doesn't know about Luke. For one, you could argue that maybe Reva doesn't know that Vader doesn't know about Luke. Now, I find that to be slightly unlikely. But the way I see that whole sequence is that, for one, Reva's had a 10-year plan to get revenge on Vader. And not only did it fail, but she got embarrassed in every way possible. So right now, she's kind of spiraling out of control. You know, she's injured. You know, she's making rash decisions. So if someone's completely like mentally breaking down and they do stupid things, I kind of tend to forgive it a little bit. Not entirely, but that's how I rationalize it. Again, I kind of like to do mental gymnastics a lot and to try and justify things I like. So maybe that's just me reaching. But so at the end, you know, Obi-Wan comes back and he, I think it hints or it shows his completion of his arc when he's kind of confronting and consoling Reva. He's like, you're free now. You know, you're not Anakin. I feel like Obi-Wan at the beginning of the series wouldn't have done that. He might have just straight up killed Reva or not done anything about it. So seeing Reva, seeing Obi-Wan console Reva was the completion of his arc. So Obi-Wan went on this arc. I liked the arc. The whole series had execution problems at times. But the foundation of this series, I just really like. And this episode executed that almost perfectly to me.
I really like what you said about kind of how Reva's story didn't really feel like it intertwined with Kenobi's all that well. I mean, the way I think of it is like, if this was, let's say this entire story, all six episodes about this Kenobi series was done in animation, it was done in the Clone Wars, I think Reva and Kenobi both having their stories kind of tie in ever so slightly would work out. I think the issue is when you call this series Kenobi, you expect it to be about Kenobi. And then, and I hate to say it because I know this was kind of a complaint people had going into the series and people kind of like wrote it off like, oh, it's no big deal. But a lot of like half of the series is about Reva and her story. And you get flashbacks about her now. And like, there's a lot to her character now, which is fine. That is a fine thing to do. But the issue is it really like mainly I noticed with this episode, there are moments where you are having these huge emotional moments with Vader and Obi-Wan where you have the glimpses of Anakin coming through. And like Goldman was saying, is he's like, you know, it's not really your fault. Like I killed Anakin Skywalker. You didn't. I did. That's very impactful. And then immediately you cut to Reva fighting Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru and Tatooine. And it's just kind of it lowers the stakes a little bit. And this is a complaint that I had with Goldman last week on episode 5 is I said, I am going to be pretty upset if Reva goes out to Tatooine to try to kill Luke and she spares him. And she's, in a sense, become an extremely integral character to the entire Star Wars story. I mean, this is an issue people had and she's not Jar Jar Binks, but this is an issue people have with Jar Jar Binks is that it's, you can't ignore Jar Jar. He's the reason Palpatine became what he is. Like that annoying ass character is such a big impact on the saga as a whole. Now Reva has the same thing where it's like this character who has never been mentioned in the films is not really relevant because she decided to spare this fucking kid. He is now living forever. And also Luke just goes on without a beat. Like he's not like, hey, Uncle Owen, you know, who the fuck was that trying to kill me like 3 days ago? He's just out and about living his life. And then Obi-Wan just pulls up and is like, hello there. It's just some of that stuff feels real. It's like the seriousness of Star Wars is sometimes lessened, which I think is stupid to say in my own opinion, because people are going to be like, well, it's Star Wars, you're not supposed to take, well, there are parts of it that I do want to take seriously, and when you have stories and side tangent stuff like Reva stuff, it kind of takes me out of the story ever so slightly, because it's like this is supposed to be a reflection on Kenobi. I wanted a character study almost, you know, after the prequels you look at Obi-Wan and you're like, man, there's so much more you can do with this character. And I think they were trying to do that with this series, but in order to kind of do what they do with The Mandalorian and make spinoff stuff, they wanted to add more. And so they added Reva. And there's talk on the block of her getting her own series. I don't want that. Did you retweet this, Connor? No, it was my friend, the First Order, on Twitter. He retweeted something that was from like one of those film review guys, and he's like, you could have had two shows. You could have had one about Reva being an Inquisitor, becoming, you know, someone who wants to take down Vader, and then you could have another one about Kenobi. And it feels like these two stories mixed into one. I agree with that, and I really dislike the fact that Reva took up so much of what I think could have been about Kenobi and Vader, and a little bit more emotional, a little bit more impactful.
Here's wrong? The problem with it. Okay. Here's the problem. Okay. Production companies do this a lot, right? They want to introduce a new character to possibly use later as a spinoff or something else. Okay. And they did that, and you could tell from the beginning that was the point of Reva in this series. Now, is that necessarily a bad thing? No, if you do it right. If you don't just plug it in, not really care about the story, not really care how it plays in with the main story, just to get to the end to use the character later. That's when it becomes a fucking problem. And that's what they did here. Okay. Because if you're, you know, if you want it to make sense in the story as it is, okay, like I said, you have her doing this arc that she has, you know, parallel to Kenobi, what he's going through. And then you basically had the end of last episode and half of this episode be a fucking Last Jedi chase sequence, right? It was just chasing, okay? You could have cut all that shit out. You could have, at the end of last episode, have them take Leia, have her little, you know, tit about it and say, no, I don't want you to leave me. Take her back home, please. And then this whole episode could have been Reva and Kenobi still kind of going at it. Then the Vader stuff happens. And then it's kind of a three-way thing. And he wants her to take out Kenobi. She doesn't. She turns on Vader. Then Vader stabs her in the gut instead of doing it last episode. She either dies, and that makes Kenobi fire up even more after everything he's seen happen. Or he thinks she's dead, but she survives. Because it would be a flashback of Qui-Gon. Wouldn't that be perfect? He's standing there, and then she's cut in the gut. It'd be almost like a flashback to him. It could bring him to his senses. And he could, you know, fight like he was doing before. And then she doesn't even have to die. She could still survive. And then you could still use her then later. But it would have played more as a part to the story. It would have played more in a part intertwining with Ben's story and made more sense in the series than how they did it. I don't know why they did it this way. I didn't know if they wanted her to stand alone. And it's like, this is better for this character if we have her stand alone. Then have her stand alone, right? Not in the series. Because it doesn't make sense storytelling-wise. And that's the major problem. This is an arc. It's called an arc for a reason, right? Right? It's an arc. Okay? She didn't have an arc. She went like this, then went like this, and then went like that. Okay? That's what happened to her throughout the series. There was no arc at all for her. They're going to give an arc in the next season or if she has her own show. Is that where it's going to happen? Because I didn't see it in this one.
I disagree. Okay? I completely disagree with that.
Of course.
Her arc was that, you know, she... She spent this whole time trying
her arc
to...
Her was a straight line. That's okay. There's nothing wrong about that.
She spent her whole time trying to get revenge on Vader. And at the end, she realizes that it's a typical revenge story. That this whole time...
Hold on. Can I pause you?
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. This whole quest, you know, her whole quest for revenge is turning her into the monster that she's trying to defeat this whole time. I'm not saying it was well done. I don't think it was that well done. But there was an arc. It was just really cliche. I disagree that she did not have an arc.
There really wasn't an arc. Because,
let's use the word you just said.
She gave away the revenge at the end, but she went from revenge on Vader, like, trying to kill him and then go back to kill his kid. Like, come on.
The moment you say she has been on this revenge thing the whole time.
But she has.
That's a straight line, Goldman. That is not an arc. That is a straight line.
An arc is about when you change. It's when you realize what you're doing is wrong.
From episode 1 to 5, there was no change. There was no change in her. There was no change in her from episode 1 to 5.
She was a straight line. Episode.
No, she went. Rah, 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 rah.
No, she
there was no arc.
Man, I will say, Gold. Like, if you look at Rebels with Kenobi and Maul and the Obi-Wan series with Kenobi and Reva, to me, it's the same fucking thing, dude. Like, I like Maul being like, oh, I need to, like, you know, fucking go take out this kid.
What?
Or was he trying to take out the kid, or was he trying to take out Obi-Wan?
Oh, he was trying to kill Obi-Wan.
He wanted revenge on Palpatine and Obi-Wan. He wanted both of them.
Darth Maul did not have an arc.
Ah, okay. But that's a good point. But I'm just saying in general, like, one thing I feel like with the series is that what I disliked about that, whatever that episode of Rebels is called, about like having Maul come out and he, like, half the episode is about Ezra and the really interesting stuff, which was Obi-Wan versus Maul. It's kind of put to the side and not really that integral because Ezra's in there. It's the same thing with this Kenobi series where it's like, okay, I really want to focus on Kenobi and Vader, but no, I have to spend so much time on Reva and this fucking sex bot in the chat every goddamn episode.
You do realize that Star Wars Rebels is about Ezra and company, not about Obi-Wan and Darth Maul. So yes, Darth Maul and Obi-Wan's story in a show called Star Wars Rebels.
But you do realize Kenobi is about Kenobi. It shouldn't be about Reva.
It's not the same thing about Rebels.
Right, I wouldn't say it's the same because Rebels was a long ongoing series, right? And they had filler episodes. So that Obi-Wan Maul thing was kind of a filler thing because, oh, it's taking place kind of in this time period. Let's do a little, oh, look who we got here. So that was different because it's a long running series.
Yeah, let's ruin a great arc because Dave Filoni can't not get his hands on everything fucking integral to the franchise. Jesus.
My whole thing with Reva and stuff is I think she is important because Obi-Wan is helping her, right? So it's not like she's completely separated from Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is a big reason as to why she does change, whether you like where the change was placed or if you think it should have been placed over a longer period of time. That's a different subject. But, you know, when she's integral to the story, well, she's also integral because of Obi-Wan, right? And Obi-Wan's existence is the reason why she is changing. And so while I do, here's where I kind of landed.
She had how much time did they talk to each other? Out of the entire six episodes, what was it?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Five and six were the where Obi-Wan became integral to her story, right? So it's still connected to Obi-Wan at the end. That's what I'm saying. She does have the arc that's connected with Obi-Wan. It's just where it was placed, I think, that could have been done better. But that's
where one line. Where were you? That was it. That was the entire
the whole
linking of their storylines.
And chapter five when... I guess they're talking through the powerful. Force. Yeah, I mean, I agree with Goldman. I don't think you need a lot. But at the end of the day, my thing is, I know we're going to talk about the series as a whole, but while we're on this subject, this is why I will always say, and I had the opposite opinion before the show released, is that this should have just been a movie. They should have stuck with their initial gut plan and made this a movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry. A movie would have been far better. Give it the fucking... Am I the only one who thought this thing was so under budget? Wise,
oh, my God.
It looked awesome.
It was supposed to be $100 million. We talked about this.
$100 million.
The budget, how... We talked about how the budget...
You said 9,200 million? What?
Yeah, so like what people are hearing now...
That's not math, pal. 9,200 million is
a lot.
It's
not a number.
Yeah.
That's like, 9 billion or something like that? Or
are you saying $92 million? Because you're saying 9,200
million.
90 to 100 million.
Sorry.
92
oh,
a range.
Bro, come on.
Okay. It sounded like you're saying 9,200
million.
9,201 million.
There.
That's in the budget for all the Star Wars shows.
No, they've been around $150 million.
Mandalorian's was about 100.
That makes no sense why they would under budget. Because, I mean, I hate to – I don't know if this is a reflection on Deborah Chow or the cinematographer or the DP for the fucking series, but there's very few shots in this entire series where I go, oh, that looks good. This whole show
looks
awful.
It's because it was like the prequels. It was because it was like the prequels. People keep –
Okay, hold on. Slow down.
They don't really
take a seat, buddy. Take a seat. This whole show look awful. Take a seat.
It wasn't that bad.
If you guys look at the way Deborah Chow's been talking about it, say there is a season two, I don't think Deborah Chow's coming back. She doesn't seem like she had a lot to work with.
Surprised.
It was a lot of blue screen rooms. And a lot of this is just speculation and stuff, but people keep blaming the volume. They're not really using the volume for this at all. It's pretty much blue screens all around. So, you know, I'll talk later.
They're using the volume I don't know much about it, like behind the scenes, but like I thought they would use the. I think one of the issues that I've had with Book of Boba Fett, and this is all, it's literally doing the prequel stuff over again. It is, oh, you have this revolutionary technology, great. You don't need to use it for everything. Yeah. And that's what it seems. But I'm not going to say I disagree with the blue screen thing because they did that behind the scenes footage of the Order 66 montage.
Every single one. The ones that Reva is posting now. Every single one of them.
But even the ones, it had nothing to do with the blue screen either. It was just CGI. Like when they had the Star Destroyer chasing Obi-Wan's ship.
Oh, that was a real model.
Dude, but you see how janky it was? It was like...
Oh, Obi-Wan's ship was not a real model. The Star Destroyer was a real model. You can just see the difference.
Looked like it was hanging from a string, and it was wobbling all over the place, and it went... what is going on here?
I gotta watch that again.
Yeah,
it's janky as hell.
Yeah, it's janky.
They don't do any establishing shots of half the damn things either. Like, you never get an establishing shot of Vader in... Yes, they do not... Go back to episode 5. They don't do a single establishing shot of Vader on the Star Destroyer. You don't see the Star Destroyer from afar or anything. Like, the stuff like that where it's just... It's small, minute things, but I think I mentioned this last week of like, you know, sometimes I want it to feel slightly like a Star Wars movie. This feels so fucking under budget. And it just looks.
Deborah Chow, she wasn't given enough to work with.
I've read that the budget for the show was $25 million.
There's no what?
No, where? You wouldn't be able to make over two episodes.
An episode, maybe. Not for the whole series.
Nope.
I mean,
definitely not an episode.
$25 million for an episode
salary
is a lot.
It's $25 million.
That's what I read. I would believe it. The show does look under budget.
I wouldn't say the cinematography was bad. Besides some shaky cam, like Tatooine looked great. It looked much better than it did Boba Fett.
Here's what I'll say.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I thought the final battle was shot well overall.
You guys notice how much better the first two episodes, specifically the second episode, looked in terms of the visuals, I guess, the background and everything.
I'm reading based on what Goldman says the budget for each of these episodes is in the region of $25 million.
So that's a huge budget.
There's no way
$25 million for an episode Disney is gigantic.
But then if it goes on, it's clear none of it has gone into the writing, continuity, or character development. But I mean, probably not a legitimate.
The
budget for each episode of Game of Thrones was like $10 to $15 million. 25 for an episode is huge.
Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Maybe the first season.
Like
I'm finding multiple stuff
really?
Here. Each episode's around at least $25 million.
Then they suck. I don't know where that money
this
went.
This is multiple episodes.
That's baffling to me.
We'll see.
That is absolutely baffling.
But if they are getting $25 million an episode and it looks that bad, then that's
Mandalorian common. Didn't
and
look
here,
bad at
this
all.
Is a
Mandalorian
total
had a good budget.
I think the series was giving $90 million as a series. So when they say at least 25 million, it doesn't mean each episode is 25 million. You're saying that
you can
at least
see where. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, oh, yeah. So some episodes could have used 25 million in their budget.
The last episode, that's
what I heard is 90.
I thought the last episode looked good.
Like, it is dark. It's just dark because it's.
They might have used 25 on the first and the last, and then
I would say 25 on the second episode. The second episode has probably more budget than any of the other episodes, just based on the location alone.
I mean, what was it, the third or fourth episode where they clearly were like, all right, guys, we got to film on location. We're low
budget.
We need
a construction site.
Can we go in the backyard?
That's what I'm saying. It was a blue screen mess. It just, you know. Yeah.
So they were in Robert Rodriguez's backyard with the toys.
Oh, yeah, they did that again. they just rented out some rich producer's fucking back lot.
I want to pose you guys a question, and you're going to agree with me, but I want us to all put it on our thinking caps and try to think of something. If we remove episode 4 from this show, completely remove it, and at the end of episode 3, Leia doesn't get captured, and they put the tracker in the droid at the end of episode 3, does anything change?
Hang on. I need you to repeat the question again.
So, we remove episode 4 from the story, where they go to the Fortress Inquisitors. We remove that.
Yes.
And at the end of episode 3, Leia doesn't get captured. She just simply goes with Obi-Wan and Tala. And they put the tracker in the droid at the end of episode 3. Does anything change about the story?
Yes.
No.
We wouldn't see Wade's death.
Oh, fuck you.
Rest in peace.
Oh, my God.
I love
rest
that
in peace, Wade.
Man, I know it was a joke on Twitter for a little bit, but did Wade have a line or anything?
Who
was
Wade?
Who is Wade? He's like, come on, let's get out of here. And then he got blown up.
Okay, because when I saw on Twitter people being like, oh, no, Wade died, like, I thought it was like, oh, like, people like actually cared about this. And then I watched the show, I'm like, this, who the fuck is Wade? Like, it's no, like, that's what's baffling about this.
Someone who's 23.
I am a fucking boomer. I mean, it's ridiculous. But like, stuff like this, where it's like, it literally makes you go, like, what is going on with this fucking show?
Who is Wade, and why are people crying about this guy?
I mean, he has a point. Not much. I mean, other than like cool things like saying, oh, they got all these Jedi entombed. I'll say one thing. Other than that, there really wasn't much in this episode. It just seemed like a connecting thread.
I would say, because I'm going to be, since we're asking, I would say this episode is mainly important to see Obi-Wan's growth as a Jedi. That's it. So there is a nice bridge.
He holds an entire ocean from coming in. I mean, yeah,
that's pretty sick. Okay. And he's spinning his lightsaber like a goofball.
Sure. Yeah, but you're justifying an entire episode of this budget of a big series.
Hey, I didn't say I'm justifying. I didn't say I'm justifying it. Goldman said, what would change?
That's somewhat fair.
They're going to pop that scene in another episode.
Somewhat fair.
Yeah, nothing of significance. I think that's a big issue with the series is that, like, you look over the course of all 6 episodes, how many do you feel like are absolutely integral? I feel like you could – I know someone's going to do it. You can fan edit this motherfucker down to 2 to 3 hours of nothing with Reva and just Obi-Wan and Kenobi and probably have a better story because of it. I really feel that because the show, 100%. Like the first 2 episodes are like, all right, it's something with Leia and Obi-Wan. Oh, okay, interesting. And then Reva slowly becomes a little bit more important. And then Leia, the poor little brat, gets pushed to the fucking side. You got the Marvel guy coming in every 3 or 4 scenes.
The Marvel guy? Oh,
I don't know his fucking name.
He was in the second episode, and then he was in the 5th episode, and in 1 scene in the last one.
No. He's integral. He helped Leia in the vents. You don't understand this, Goldman. He in the last episode. About? Remember the fake Jedi.
Roken.
He's
like, Roken didn't. No.
No.
His name that's was racist, Haja. Goldman. That's Haja racist. Did not do. Haja did not help out Leia in the vents. What are you talking about?
He was sitting there and he was talking her through the thing. You know, he was like that important scene where Tala dies and Kenobi is reflecting on her death and it's supposed to be traumatic. In the background, you hear him go, Leia, are you almost done?
Hey, so you're saying this guy in the background was too integral to the story?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I dislike that. I dislike that.
You have such bad taste. Oh my
god! I absolutely do. But only I dislike that he's like what did he say in this final episode where he's like, I talked to Leia for you, like she's he calm goes, now.
You're welcome.
Like, yeah, it's like who the fuck is this guy?
It's, Get him out of here. It's ironic, but it's very Marvel-y, you know, irony.
It's very Marvel-esque, and I can't stand it for that. All right. It's stuff like that in the series where I'm like, are we trying here? Do we understand how serious we all take Kenobi as a character? I guess we don't. We're just gonna, you know, hee-hee-ha-ha with this whole
fucking thing. I don't know, Olney. I think you're nitpicking, man. You're stretching
this. I'm right. I'm nitpicking. This is supposed to be an important series, and important. I feel like it wasn't taken seriously
only,
at all.
Only. Is The Mandalorian Season 1 a good show?
Yes.
A lot of those episodes you could remove and, like, nothing would change.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, there's certain ones.
I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying we got to be consistent.
But the difference is those episodes are fun. They're enjoyable. They're simple, fun Star Wars adventures.
I like the episode. There's only one filler episode this season. There's one. Like, yeah, it was bad. I agree.
I don't know. I think the second episode was a filler as well. I just like that.
Was it?
They established Leia and Obi-Wan's relationship. That was crucial.
The whole thing is with Leia. Yeah, you can't.
Again, here's the thing. We keep saying, oh, well, this episode did this. We need that because it did this. But there's a way to condense that, right? Sure, there's a way to take those things and weave them into the part of the story to either make this a very tight, good story with four episodes or tighten it up over to six episodes and add more shit to make the characters more relevant in those six episodes. You like when we talk about that fourth episode, it's like, oh, this is important. Sure, but you took almost an hour episode for just that one part to matter. And it's like you could have did so much more with everything else, and you didn't. It almost felt like that's what you needed to do, and you just put all this other fluff around it. And even the pilots, it was giving me, like, again, I know some people are going to hate me. It was giving me Last Jedi fucking flashbacks, okay, with the fighter pilots, the way they were. And it was like I was waiting for her to do the – I was waiting for her to give me the line of it's not about killing those you hate, it's about those you love or whatever bullshit.
She switched that line. Come on, Lunga.
Okay. It was just so and then, you know, again, we joked about it when we saw it, the whole thing with the, you know, comical girl under the coat thing and her walking through the, fucking thing.
I feel like that was established something. Yeah. Besides the fourth episode, are we talking about, like, other stuff in the series?
There's a few. Episode 1 and 2 could have been combined into one.
Yeah, did you really need that Leia chase scene?
That chase scene lasted 2 minutes, maybe.
That chase scene was awful.
Okay. It was awful. 2 minutes is a long time in a show and in a film. All right, 2 minutes.
But there's a lot of stuff.
It's time to not waste.
You could have taken the important stuff from 1 and 2 and put them all into one episode. You could
have done that. Professor, give me Rise of Skywalker vibes. That's exactly how Rise of Skywalker.
I think you guys want breakneck pacing, and no, like besides the fourth episode,
it's not that. It's not that I want breakneck pacing. It's give me a good story. And give it to me without too much fluff. If you're committed to six episodes, then don't give me an entire episode of fluff that has 2 minutes of important shit.
I agree.
Make that episode fourth count.
Talk about the other ones. Because we're talking about five episodes here that I think mattered. Well, even if you think
even episode three, like with episode like
I'll disagree on
two
three.
As well, like the rescue thing with Leia. I mean, episode three, I think it's fine, but they go to another planet. The fluff to me is also the fake Jedi stuff in episode two. There's a lot of things about the series upon rewatch that I go, oh, this is a little bit forgetful. There's a lot of things that you go like, this is like when I think of like good setup and good pacing, like I don't want breakneck pacing. One of the best things that Empire Strikes Back did was whenever it takes like 30 minutes for the first battle to really start, and you see the walkers, the AT-AT walkers slowly making their way towards the base. It builds up that tension for the battle to come. You don't really get anything like that in Star Wars anymore at all.
And that's fine. You know, times change and whatnot. And that was a different budget back then. But stuff like that, that slow pace really builds up to anticipation and delivers on a great battle, the Battle of Hoth. You don't get anything remotely like that. The closest thing you had was similar to what they did in The Last Jedi with Crait. And that's the fifth episode where all these big stormtroopers show up. And it's been like 3 minutes of fast pace, like, oh, we're gonna get together, everybody get together, everybody get in line, you're in position, blah, 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 blah. Oh, there's influencers over there, we're gonna shout them out, and they'll all get the fucking guns pointed at the wall, like stuff like
even,
that.
You wouldn't even know there were influencers if
let me give you an example they took two things that they repeated twice that made this last way longer than each other. We got two chase scenes with Leia, right? She was chased twice.
The first one was unnecessary.
Okay, but it's Goldman, it's not about that. It's just the fact they did it twice. They just repeated it.
Okay. Basically. Yes.
Okay. And then we get last episode when they're being chased through the thing and Kenobi wanted to leave. He's here for me. He's here for me. And like, no, come on. You got to go. No, he's here for me. No, come on. Then we get to the last episode and in the ship, it's the same thing. Oh, he's here for me. I got to leave. He's here for me.
Because they're on the run. Like,
no, but they just repeated the same thing twice in two episodes.
Well, then you could argue The Empire Strikes Back is basically one entire chasing.
They should have just had him turn himself in like he did and then fuck that whole beginning half of the first episode of them in the ship and Leia trying to fix it with the droid and shit. Just, or not the ship, the base, wherever they were trying to escape. Screw all that shit. Okay, when they were breaking in. That took way too long. It was unnecessary.
But you guys were just talking about how, like, an Empire Strikes Back, it takes 30 minutes to get to the fight, right? Because you do have to build up that suspension and stuff.
We're not talking about a movie, though, here. We're talking about almost 6 hours of a series.
It's not 6 hours. It's, like, maybe four.
I said almost six hours.
Get the fuck out of here.
I would not consider...
It's six episodes, an hour apiece, all right?
They're like, hey, only, you were being real picky earlier, so...
I'm nitpicking on the fucking, like, the elements of it, what's in the show, not the timeline.
I mean,
like,
I agree with you guys.
It doesn't have to be like Game of Thrones, where it spends, like, six seasons building up to a fucking night in Winterfell, and then it all gets done in one 30-minute arc.
You could afford to do this nonsense if this was a planned three-season series, that this whole story was going to take three seasons, okay? Then you could put all that fluff in there and all that other shit. But you're not. You're trying to tell this whole story in these six episodes, right? Make those six episodes count. Don't give me almost an entire episode of nonsense that really doesn't...
That's where I feel like the series is not...
With chapter four, I'd agree.
I don't think the series is going to age well because of these kind of small instances. I don't think the highlights of this series are enough to overshadow just kind of how boring it is in general. I mean, the buzz around the series is the fan service shit.
People hype up Rogue One all the time, and like two-thirds of that movie is dangerously boring.
People hype up Rogue One on Twitter, all right? That's about it.
I like Rogue One.
A lot of my friends, like, they trigger me so much, like, because they know how much I love the sequels. So, like, Rogue One's the best Disney Star Wars movie. They say it all the time. So I disagree. It's not just people on Twitter.
It is. Okara, the writing of Rogue One I like this is comment. 10 times better than the writing of The Last Jedi.
Failed troll attempt. You're not getting me.
20 times better than The Rise of Skywalker.
Like I said, No. Hold on. I took 4 weeks off. I'm taking another vacation.
I'm about to do some real math here to get the actual length of the series, excluding credits and the opening. Like,
hey, you can't say nothing.
It's gonna be like 4 hours and 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So let's see. Yeah. There's on average about 2 minutes of opening credits, and then on average about.
Oh, wait, you're doing the math live here.
I'm gonna start talking. All right, listen. Okay, so I think we can all agree that this should have simply been a movie.
Wait. I ask you this. Would you prefer it be a movie, or would you prefer? This is a gamble. You, it's either black or red. You know, we're gambling here. What are you gonna bet on? Black is you get to pick it to be a movie. Red, you get the original scripts that Haseen Amini did the first time around.
I'm telling you right now. If we're sticking with the characters involved as they are, I would not have wanted this movie because they would have had to cut out so much Obi-Wan stuff to make that Reva stuff matter.
I disagree. I think they would have cut out Reva. I think they would have cut out Reva in this because they would have. Because it's like having Solo a Star Wars story and then half of the fucking movie is about Boba Fett. You're like, I mean, well,
that's why I said if they made this as with the characters as they are, if they're using the same characters. Yeah.
Excluding credits and both opening and ending, this show is not even 4 hours long.
Really? How long?
232 minutes, which is just under 4 hours. So just 3 hours, 52 minutes.
Oh, come on. That's 4 hours. All right. Eight minutes.
Oh, God, I was close. I said like 4 hours and 10 minutes.
You're saying 6 hour-long episodes.
Before you're into math, I go, it's going to be like 4 hours or something.
Yes.
And that's exactly what
there's a big difference between 4 and 6 hours. Like, gigantic.
Whatever. And you know what? 4 hours is a long time for a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Excluding the fifth episode or the fourth episode, that brings it to what? 3 hours?
All right. Well, they've been talking about a possibility of a season two and about how, oh, there's interest in it and everything. After what you have seen, do you want a second season of Kenobi? I'm going to start ball rolling anticlimactically and say absolutely not. Longo, well, do you want a second season?
No.
Okay.
Unequivocally, no.
Yeah. Palpamemes, you want a second season?
No, I like this ending.
Oh, okay. That's a better take. What about you, Goldman? I know the answer.
Well, the way you phrased this question was, after having seen the show, do you want a second season? I never wanted a second season.
Of course.
That's facts.
Oh, yes. Yes, understandable. But I'm just saying, like, is this first season enough to make you go, I want to see what's next?
It's a concluded story.
I want
from
like,
start to finish.
I want a mini movie of like 20 minutes where Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon talk about just like, yo,
okay,
you podcast. You told me.
That's
I would
Goldman's
like a podcast.
Getting
yes.
Me. Yeah. That's what like, Goldman's.
I don't
getting
want a whole
in,
season.
In
I just want like a 10 minutes. You know where Obi-Wan's like, bro.
The way they ended this season is how I wanted the show to start. I wanted this entire series to be a character study of Kenobi, his reflection on Vader and his past. I didn't even care if they had a rematch, honestly, but I wanted to see Obi-Wan train again in the ways of the Force with Qui-Gon. He doesn't have to be in every episode. He can be in the first and the last one. He can literally say, hey, how is that boring?
What was it boring when Yoda did it? He did it for four episodes in an animated
show. I'm not writing it. It could be a movie for all you know. All right, it can work. So all right, like there are ways. That's not
about low budget.
I'll be honest. That gives me Boba Fett vibes.
How? Like, Boba Fett wasn't even a character study about him.
How much could you do with just Obi-Wan studying the Force? A movie of him
two hours worth? Can you not?
There has to be some conflict. There has to be like an antagonist, where there has to be some sort of plot of like where he struggles to do something. Like, do you just want a movie where he learns?
No. This was the right conclusion. Now he spends
Luke
the next 9 years.
He communes with
Qui-Gon, learns more about the Force to prepare for what he's going to do with Luke later. That's all that happens in these next 9 years. He's peacefully being the hermit that he was supposed to be. And,
I love that.
Oh, to call back to something you said at the beginning, you guys were saying, like, you mentioned how some people were like saying they regressed him just to bring him back again. I think Star Wars only said that, which is not really, if you think about it, because like he was in shock. He was in shock at the end of Revenge of the Sith, and then it over 10 years he was dwelling on this, and it was just eating away. So that's the depression was real, and it was good. I like that. That worked great.
I love that too.
So for me, I'm good with these next 9 years of him now being in this. Peace. He's had his closure. He understands, and now he has Qui-Gon, and now it's going to be him growing into that, you know, Alex Guinness position, which I don't need to see anything with that. For him. I don't need it.
I agree. Yeah, that wonderfully said.
No, I don't want to see him gung Alec Guinness. I just want to see him yet again become a little bit more one with the Force. I would like to it's the perfect follow up. Yoda literally being. Like, training I have for you, your old master, he learned to go into the netherworld of the Force, Qui-Gon. It didn't have to be the entire fucking show about him.
How about this? Let's have some animated shorts.
It could just simply
talking
be
to Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon being like, hey, you have to do this.
Yes, I would like that. Or
put in
animated shorts.
I would love a Tales of the Jedi 3. Oh, look, another reason why Tales of the Jedi shouldn't just be the damn prequels.
Deserves something.
So we can everyone talking to... No, it doesn't. Like, I want a part of a story to be that, sure, but not an entire story.
This comment summarizes how I feel about it. Star Wars did used to be mystical, and it's feeling processed food at this point. Like, I want some mysticism in Star Wars again. This entire series, I got nothing about it, which is fine. I didn't need the series to
specifically be about the mysticism of the Force. I'm just saying I would have liked it to have something where Obi-Wan is training. The plot could have been him versus the fucking Hutts, or him doing something else, saving the people Tatooine, literally anything else. But the story could have been him training to become one with the Force. Now, I don't know when he completes that, except after fucking season one, apparently. But I don't. But if they do that in season two, that's my issue, is that it's like, oh, you're giving me what I wanted far after the fact. And also, you've introduced all this other shit in season one that feels like a convoluted mess to intertwine with the original trilogy. Like, sometimes they just, I feel like sometimes they go above and beyond to try to connect things.
I guess I can't argue with what you wanted from the show, but to me, seeing a show about Obi-Wan being depressed and coming to terms with his guilt and overcoming that is infinitely more interesting than him training with the Force.
But yeah, he didn't do that. That's the thing. Is like,
of course he did.
Not really.
Obi-Wan is a completely different person from the first and last episode.
This I have to push back on that. Star Wars Only. He had an actual arc. You saw the change.
No, he did have
episode. You saw the change.
I'm just saying that the entire series wasn't about him
not wanting to deal with any of shit.
Reflecting on anything.
Yeah, because they focus on some other things that they shouldn't have. But in terms of Obi-Wan's story, what they did with him personally, that's what it's about.
He wasn't depressed and reflecting. He was depressed at a dead end and shut down.
Which is even worse, which I like.
That's the whole point. He was shut down. He didn't want to think about anything. He didn't want to.
That's the highlight of the series, Obi-Wan specifically. But that wasn't the whole story of the entire series. It was just.
He was haunted by nightmares, if anything.
The first episode and the last episode of the series are some of the greatest that you could get from a Star Wars show. But everything in the middle, the meat of this fucking show, it's all tainted. It is rotten.
Middles was the meat. I feel like the first and last episodes were the most important episodes.
Yeah, but that's the bread, man. That's the top and that's the bottom. You know,
I think it's a little bit of a different. I don't think the analogy works here when the first and last episodes are far more important than what happened in the middle.
I got in the comments, David Sakamoto apparently is not happy that Obi-Wan had to be shut down. David, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the one thing all four of us agree on. We wanted to see him.
It would not make sense for him to not be that way.
Hey, man, when you get older, David,
you don't know. Like this is what really bugs me. This
you get depressed, man. You want to see other motherfucking Goldman. This is a channel to get frustrated on.
We're I know it is. It's just like
our feelings. I want you to get mad at me.
I'm going to bring up a sensitive topic, and we're not going to debate it. I just want to bring something up because I'm trying to make a point. I understood why so many people were upset that with Luke in The Last Jedi, he was depressed. No, I'm not debating it. I'm making a point that's unrelated. I understood why a lot of people were upset to see him depressed, because that was just the end of his story. You know, you want to see something else. I get it. At this point in the story, I don't understand how people can expect Obi-Wan to be anything but extremely depressed after what happened in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
So, like, Longo, you missed
Sorry, David. David's just getting...
Longer, you missed the point I was saying. I'm not making an argument for The Last Jedi. I'm saying I understand people's criticisms of that movie. I understand why people wouldn't want to see Luke depressed in that movie. I do not understand why people would not want to see Obi-Wan depressed in this show.
Sure. Well, just not to trigger anyone, Goldman. again, the problem isn't that Luke was depressed.
We're not debating this. I'm not.
It's how. He expressed that depression.
Let's say Obi-Wan
was so depressed about what happened with Anakin that when he went to bring that little paper airplane to Luke, he ignited his lightsaber over him because he's going to turn like his father. And he's like, no, wait, I can't do that.
He saw Anakin.
This is my point. Completely missed my point. Absolutely, completely. It's like not even in the same room. You're here. My point is here. It's just not even close.
Oh, I thought it was pretty good sense, I thought.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh my God. Well, okay, so... The series is over in our minds. The entire Obi-Wan series is absolutely done. We don't want a second season. We have said that. But we got the six episodes. We've all kind of digested it. We've said our thoughts on the finale and kind of the series as a whole.
I think you're bugging out, dude.
Yeah, we're losing you.
We hear like every other second.
But what was your overall opinion? All right, well I'll let you take over longer. I can't say shit. I'm gone. I can see my Wi-Fi shit dropping like a motherfucker. I love it.
Reset that router, buddy. right. Reset that router. Did anybody get what he was saying?
I can't do
what the question was.
I think he was trying to ask us what our overall thoughts.
Gotta fucking think. Yeah, just give me your overall fucking thoughts. I before I fucking lag out, I give this okay. series a 6 out of 10. I thought it was mid at best. It had a lot of great highlights, but like I said earlier, you know, it has two good parts in the sandwich, but the rest is absolutely just meh to me. All right, this isn't a series I predict myself rewatching in the future that often. It's not a series I'm gonna really think about. It's exactly what I thought it was going in. It's fan service to the fucking max, and all the prequel fans got their dicks hard because of it.
Except all the prequel fans are triggered, so.
Completely disagree with him on that. It wasn't fan service. I thought it told the story of what we wanted to see with Obi-Wan very well. It added a lot of depth to his connection to Anakin and to what Anakin has become now, Darth Vader. It gave us closure for Obi-Wan, as far as Obi-Wan and even Vader's, it gave us so much more depth. It gave us what the Vader comics have been doing, right? It gave us that now in live action. And we haven't really, I mean, if you think about it, how many times in live action have we seen Vader duel? We saw him duel Obi-Wan in A New Hope, right? That lasted 2 seconds, okay? And then we saw him fighting Luke in the original trilogy. That's it, okay? Then in Rogue One, it wasn't a duel. He was just slaughtering people, right? This was the first time we got to see him actually fight, and it was the choreography was so good, and the interactions between them and the link, that was so great. For me, the Obi-Wan parts with Vader throughout the whole series was a 9 out of 10. That's how fucking good it was to me. But not because of Reva, because I was intrigued by Reva, but where it went from episode 5 and 6 from there with her arc and how the Grand Inquisitor just poof, pops up. Hey, hello. You know, Crispy just shows up out of nowhere.
Hello.
I got two stomachs. Hey, you know, he just shows up out of nowhere. That dropped it to me from a 9 to a 7, but it has nothing to do with the main storyline. I thought the main storyline served the purpose it was meant to do, but that other stuff. This is a nitpicky stuff. The nitpicky stuff is the Leia not knowing who he is, you know, and that was kind of nitpicky, but I don't feel they did a new character that I'm assuming they want me to enjoy. They had me in the first 3 to 4, episode 4 was kind of eh. And then they dropped it off because they didn't give me anything to care about this character anymore with that. They really didn't. So that's what hurt it for me. So that's why I ended up at a 7. I got to say this, when it comes to TV series, I rarely rewatch. I haven't rewatched Mandalorian. Movies I'll rewatch depending on the movie, but television shows, series, I don't really rewatch them. So I can't add.
Oh, see, I can rewatch Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Apple memes.
I'll YouTube certain scenes that I liked and I'll just watch those. That's about it. I won't watch the whole series again.
Yeah. I'm with
now. I have watched the whole series. If it's something like I watched The Sopranos again recently, but that was because I hadn't seen it in a decade or whatever. So it's like so long, you know, that I watched the whole thing again, but, yeah, I don't rewatch. But yeah, I ended up at like 7 out of 10, mostly because of what happened in the last couple episodes.
Firm but fair. Firm. That's a good rating.
Yeah. I'm with only like with Mandalorian. I don't really rewatch season 1 except for like the last 2 episodes because those are phenomenal. But season 2, I could really put on pretty much any episode from season 2. Just have a good time simply as a fan because it's fan service, the TV show. Let's be honest. Still love it though. But with this, I pretty much agree with all 3 of you all, which is weird. It usually doesn't happen, but I pretty much agree with all of your points simultaneously in weird ways. Okay. I wanted one thing from this show, so maybe I'm biased. And that one thing was Obi-Wan going through a beautiful arc of overcoming his failures and his trauma, right? And PTSD. If there was one thing that I wanted, it was that. And I'm very happy I got it in the way that we did. It was phenomenal. Now the stuff with Reva, I do like, I was intrigued by it. It's unique. It's different, all right? But I do agree with Lunga that the concept is there. The execution is kind of out of whack. And it does take away a lot, sometimes, from Kenobi's story. But I'm not one of those guys to say, like, she shouldn't have been in the show at all, because I do think there are important plot situations that she obviously has to be there. She's kind of the middle person between Kenobi and Vader. You need that. But I enjoyed the show from start to finish. My least favorite episode is still, it's either episode 3 or 4. I know, Lunga, I think you loved episode 3, if I recall correctly.
This is pretty good.
It didn't really work for me, but I didn't think it was awful. I don't think any of these episodes were bad or awful. So I'm going to give the score 7.6 out of 10.
Love the
That's just his way of saying
it. 7.5
I liked it a little bit better than you guys.
Yeah, I think I was a little more nice to it. But yeah, 7.6 out of 10.
But it's not a good pass.
It's above average.
I'm going to give my turn, best for last. I'm going to give two scores here. There's my objective analysis, which means just I'm removing a bias. How do I think of this as a 6-episode show? So there's my objective rating and my Disney shill rating, which means am I just happy as a Star Wars fan? As an objective analysis of this series, I'd probably give it around a 7, maybe 6.5. I think they did a good job with Obi-Wan. But again, the Reva stuff did drag it down a little bit, and there was a lot of execution problems along the way. The music wasn't great. The cinematography could have been better at times. A lot of execution problems, but I think the story was well done. So from an objective analysis, I would give it around a 7, 6.5. I'll say 7. Final score 7. My Disney shill rating, I'm probably going to give it like an 8.5, maybe a 9. Because at the end of the day, I just wanted to, similar to Papal Memes, I just wanted to see a powerful character arc with Obi-Wan, and that's what I got. So I'm happy. So I don't care really if Reva's story wasn't that good because I got what I wanted from the show. So actually, I'm going to give my Disney show rating is going to be a 9. So, but if I had to give an overall rating, it'd be a 7. I'm very happy with the series. Could have been better, but I personally am happy, and I will probably be rewatching this very soon.
God, Goldman's what I hate about the fandom. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I unmute myself? Anyways, no. okay. Well, we all feel a little different about the series going forward. I'm really curious if they will do a season 2 just because, geez, like I'm sure the numbers on this were crazy, crazy good.
Well, we know that.
Yeah.
Well, it was like I predicted. Episode the most 1 viewed, I think. Was the most watched Disney Plus show ever. 1 and 2? Okay, yeah. I predicted it like last year. I'm like, this is going to be the most watched.
Well, 3 through 6, we have no numbers on, but I would imagine they're doing pretty well for themselves, which is hilarious and ironic considering the
budget.
I'll
be honest, even people that weren't super happy just what they got with episode 3 with the Vader stuff, there were people that are going to stick around to the end.
Yeah.
Just to see that. I mean, it's just like people who hated the prequels who went to see Revenge of the Sith because they had to see the fight.
No, it's like 4 or 5 guys at the gym I talked to about this show, just casually, just like, bro, so the Kenobi, like, we kept up with it every Wednesday, and they'd come up and talk to me about it. So that's how popular the show is.
No.
Oh, same thing at work. Although people triggered
me. Oh, and what's O'Shea Jackson's name? Character's name? Roken, right?
Roken.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be an Andor. I bet you guys anything he's going to be an Andor.
He's probably right. Yeah.
Because that line he gave to him, "You're a leader. Help these people." He's going to be one of the leaders in Andor, guaranteed.
I can see it.
That makes sense. All right. Well, we promised you guys at the end of the show we're going to go over any super chats that you guys did or did not give throughout the stream. So the first one we have from Star Wars Timeline, he says, "Love the conversation, guys. Question to all: which director understands Star Wars story DNA the best? Favreau, Filoni, J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, Ron Howard." Jeez,
it's close between Filoni and Rian Johnson.
Look at you just slipping your answer.
Why
in the
Filoni?
Form.
Well, Filoni.
Favreau.
Had his hand up.
That's a hard one.
I even had my hand up.
I'll let Lunga take that first then. What do you got to say, Lunga?
Of the four, Favreau.
Okay.
Favreau. The reason why, because Favreau, he understands, I mean, in a way, with the exception of Filoni, J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, and Ryan Howard, obviously understand movie making, especially Ron Howard. Okay.
I'm surprised you guys aren't like being favorable to Ron Howard. I almost want to pick him just because
they said understand. No, but the question is understand Star Wars DNA. Did what Ron Howard did really understand Star Wars DNA?
Well, to be fair, I feel like he added a lot of Star Wars DNA to Solo. Yeah. All he did was reshoot a movie. I feel like if he got his own, I mean, especially with Bryce Dallas Howard, his daughter doing Solo, the Star Wars episode she does, I would not be surprised if Ron Howard can make a young, fun action adventure.
We got to base it on what we saw, right? And a credit that Ron Howard has being reshooting or not is Solo. So that's what we got to go with. I would say Favreau, just because The Mandalorian, specifically, has given us a lot of feels for the original trilogy and given us the Star Wars feels with also giving us something new going forward. You know what I mean? So that's why I feel he understands the DNA the best. Filoni... I love Filoni, but we know Filoni. right? We know where he could go. He's like Lucas reborn, and he thinks he knows better than anyone else, and sometimes it doesn't go the right way. Favreau is his Kirshner, right? That's why I say Favreau. JJ, listen, JJ's great, but to his own admission, he knows how to start things. He doesn't know how to finish them. So that's why JJ can't do it. As far as Rian Johnson, he's too much of a maverick. If you want to give him Star Wars stuff, it's got to be in a segment of the galaxy that no one has told stories about before. Knock your socks off. Do whatever you want. Have fun.
I'm with Lunga. I'm picking Favreau, just based off of, because we're talking about director as well. He directed the first episode of season two, and it was great. It does give me the original trilogy Star Wars feel. It does seem like he has a grasp of not what people want, but what people need from Star Wars. New, fun, you know, side stories, but still progressing our characters in unique ways. So that's my pick before my fucking connection drops out. Palpamemes, who do you got?
So for like Star Wars story DNA, Favreau, I think that's kind of an easy one, though I do think he falls too much in the Filoni trap, which is fan service over critically good story at first. And someone is asking above, what's so wrong about fan service? There's nothing wrong about fan service. It's execution of fan service. The biggest issue with fan service is it's a very cheap way of writing. It's very easy to write a fan service story. Any of us here in this chat, any of us can just write a story based on fan service. But I don't think Filoni's bad. I just think he falls too hard on that. But Favreau himself alone, I would be fine with him kind of running things because he definitely gets it. I know that's a cliche thing to say it, but there is kind of a reason why it's cliche. As for visuals of Star Wars and the look, oh, J.J. Abrams, no doubt. That man can direct, dude. That guy can work a camera. I love his camera style and his cinematography. And you just look back at The Force Awakens, and even Episode 9 had some phenomenal sequences of shots and all that.
You like how he tried to highlight The Force Awakens as the main reason, not Episode 9?
Yeah.
Episode 9. Episode 9 has phenomenal cinematography.
Yeah, please zoom in on Daisy Ridley's face a little harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's do
can't
it.
Can't get more of no, that.
I want to see that zit next to her left nostril.
The man can direct. He knows his long shots and everything, and the way he films action scenes, the man can direct. There's no denying that. The color grading, out of his, it had nothing to do with him. We can talk about the rise of blue all day. That wasn't even them. In fact, we know from the editor herself, she said that the film was ripped away from her in November and Disney changed a bunch of crap. So
he can direct if it's a standalone movie story. If it's a standalone movie story,
I'm talking strictly camera work, visuals. His directing is probably my favorite.
I like how we're talking about directing here. Like, who understands the Star Wars DNA best with directing?
And I think part of Star Wars is the visuals.
I know, but we're acting like George Lucas 100%. Was some amazing director, which he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't. But, no.
So we're talking about...
question. That's why I made the comment of Filoni is Lucas. He needs Favreau as his Kirshner.
I know, but we're talking... Okay, but...
Not.
We would agree that whatever... Okay, we can agree what's the best in terms of filmmaking. Before arguing what's the pure Star Wars DNA, that's whatever George Lucas has done.
Rian Johnson.
No, I'm saying Dave Filoni. Like, if you said he's George Lucas reborn, how could you not say that's the purest form of Star Wars DNA we can get then?
What I mean by George Lucas reborn is he has the repository of knowledge that George Lucas does in it, and he has... He has George Lucas' form of storytelling. We know George Lucas is a great storyteller, right? Mm-hmm. He's a storyteller. He comes up with these ideas and these worlds. That's what Filoni is, okay? Mm-hmm. But as far as directing and making a good movie that has all the points that a movie needs to be successful, he doesn't have that. That's why he needs someone like Favreau.
Can we pull up the super chat again? Like, I want to read the wording here.
Oh, Jesus. It was the director with the best like Star Wars DNA. I'm scrolling back up.
Yes, we're not talking about what's the... I agree, Dave Filoni's not the best director. He's probably the worst director on
understand
this list.
Understand Star Wars story DNA the best. I still think it's Favreau because Filoni...
We're not even talking about directing. We're just talking about which one of these five people best understands Star Wars storytelling. I think it's Dave Filoni.
But once you add the word director... That means not just someone who has the knowledge, but someone who's going to be directing.
Yeah, that changes it to me.
Yeah, but he's not saying
that's what changes it.
Yeah. No, I agree with Goldman. I agree with Goldman. He's talking strictly story.
he's not asking who directed Star Wars the best. He said which of these directors. He's just using director to list a few people. He's not
the umbrella.
He's not talking about the direction in the directing of Star Wars.
If you're asking, if you take out the word director, yeah, who has the most knowledge is Filoni.
Maybe he's just saying
yes.
I doubt that's what the question is.
Director.
But the second he puts director in, I put him in the director role. A director is different from a storyteller. Right. A director is different from someone who does a screenplay. You can disagree all you want. It's how it works. Joby Harold is the screenplay writer for the entire movie series, but he's not the director.
If he said Chow's the director, which person understands the DNA the best?
No, that's
a whole different title. Context. A question.
If he said that, I'd still say Favreau better than Filoni.
If you say which. Storyteller understands Star Wars DNA the best, the question would be exactly the same. What's important was what comes after the understands, not before. Which of these people understands Star Wars story DNA the best? Directing means absolutely nothing.
Directing means a lot, though. I mean, you can see that.
Not in terms of this question.
Well, I am factoring that into my response, though.
You're answering the question. Star Wars timeline.
If you're still there, you need to clarify. If not, check it in the comments so we can discuss it next episode.
You're answering a different question. It's like, what's your favorite meat? Ooh, I love fruit.
I think you're rejecting reality, replacing it with your own. Is what I think you're doing.
No, you're not reading the question. You're not reading the question.
Look, we are using a word that's in the question. You are completely discounting the word, pretending it doesn't exist.
If someone asks the question, which Tatooine panelist is the most athletic? It is completely irrelevant as to what our thoughts are on Star Wars.
You're just using
that as a title to list a few people.
No, because we know they're talking. It's a Star Wars channel talking about Star Wars. We know we're talking about which one of these people know Star Wars DNA the best, who are all involved in Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars DNA.
You added the descriptor of director. They didn't say writer. Yes. They didn't say actor. They didn't say cinematographer.
They didn't say storyteller. They didn't say storyteller. They said director.
Yeah, they're not all storytellers.
He specifically asked to understand Star Wars story.
Storytelling. Directing is storytelling.
Not entirely.
It absolutely is. Deborah Chow did not write a single fucking line in Kenobi, but she took the story that Joby Harold, Hussein Amanid, took that and put that in. So to me, when I think of if he would have just said storytelling, I would have kind of responded the same way and probably would have said Favreau. But when he adds director in, in my response, it doesn't change my opinion. But in my mind, it makes me go, okay, it not only determines the understanding of Star Wars story DNA, but also their directing of the Star Wars story and how they deliver. Okay. Filoni is an inferior director to all other four people on this list, and he would admit that himself too, which is fine.
Because the first live action he ever directed was his first episode of Mandalorian.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you want to answer a different question and talk about which is the best director of Star Wars of those lists, then I would say it's very close between Favreau and Ryan Johnson.
But that wasn't the question. The question wasn't what he said. It wasn't who's the best director. It's which director in that role understands Star Wars story DNA.
Yes. Jay Filoni which understands the Star Wars story DNA.
Who is directing movie shows, meaning, we got these Filoni episodes that he directed. We got these Favreau episodes he directed. We got the Ron Howard movie that he directed.
It's purely a title. We're having an English debate here.
Why is Ron Howard included when all he did was reshoot Solo? Why is Ron Howard included?
He directed the movie. That's why. And he's listening
exactly.
To the I know, but the title is not about the directing. It's purely a title. We need Star Wars. You guys don't
send him a link to the stream. Yeah,
it's just a title.
You guys don't. It is in terms of context of this sentence. It is just a title. 100%.
No, because Filoni also writes. So does Favreau.
Yes,
that is a distinctive title.
Yeah. Okay, but we're not talking about their job as a director. We're talking about their job.
Director wouldn't have been in. Yeah, that was my misunderstanding. Is that when he puts director in, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking of these guys like as they direct a Star Wars story, not as a. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm shitty with the English language. You guys hear me mispronounce so many things on here every fucking show.
That's what I said. We're having an English debate, not a Star Wars debate here.
And I will lose that debate every time.
Listen, I still push back. Listen, you can try. You can make it say Goldman's better at English than you all you want. I'm not saying that because I still read that sentence the same way. It doesn't change. What he says, when he puts adds the descriptor of director, it means who is best at storytelling, who's in this role. That's what it tells me. Because that's a descriptor added. He could, because they play multiple roles. They're also writers. So the moment you add director in there, you're being descriptive of a specific role.
I love the comments in the chat.
Thank you.
We're done with this English.
The next one is from Matthew Kelly. And it
yes,
is
thank yes, you very the much, dumbest Matthew. Questions, by the way. I love him. Yes, the dumbest questions.
What if they planned to set Reva as Finn's mother?
Oh, would that God.
Even work timeline wise? How old would she have to
be? I mean, she's like 19 at most, 19, 20 in this. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is 9 years before A New Hope, and the sequel trilogy is 20 years after.
30.
It could work.
30? Oh, yeah. She could definitely be his mom.
If she had Finn when she was in her 40s, yeah.
Shit, she might be too old to be his mom at some point.
You're not wrong. I'm not trying to shit on you, Matthew, but that might be racism right there too. They're black, so they got to be related. I'm like, okay, not sure if they wanted to go that route. I sure as fuck hope they didn't. Grievous Reborn, shout out to him, says favorite Star Wars game.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Yes. Jedi Academy.
No Lego Star Wars. No Lego Star Wars.
That's
Skywalker,
me, dude.
The Skywalker saga sucked. I'm sorry.
I still haven't reviewed it yet.
$60 I ever spent.
Now, this this one to me lacks description.
It's not a video game.
Are we talking?
It could be Star Wars Monopoly.
It could be any kind of game.
Exactly.
A game.
I'm assuming video game because usually when people ask these questions in 2022, they're talking about video games.
Yeah.
However, are we talking about best gameplay, best story,
what
best
is your
graphics?
Favorite? What is your favorite?
Again, here's the thing. I would say my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite would be Fallen Order. However, I can't finish the fucking game because I do not play that Dark Souls fucking mechanics. I can't do that shit.
It's so old. It's not even that hard.
I finished that game in like a week.
Well, listen, I refuse to do it on easy. Okay. I'm not going to do it on easy. I do it in the middle. I always pick the middle one. Okay, I don't do it on easy. I can't do it on easy. That makes me feel like I'm 5 years old.
Though. What do you play it on? Like, what makes this so fucking hard? Like, have you tried it on PC?
I played it on PlayStation and PC. No, I did it on both.
Oh, my God. Maybe get an Xbox controller. That shit's easier.
I will say this. Now, the game that I had the most fun with was Starkiller.
Force Unleashed.
That's and the second one actually, I had the most. The second one is the one I had the most fun with. Was Force Unleashed 2.
Maybe we can do a whole show on the Force Unleashed one day. But I will say, oddly enough, the second one plays so much better than the first one. Go to hell! Mm-hmm. And the first one's story is so much better than the second one. It's like night and day. How weird that is to me. All right, Goldman, give me your awful take on your favorite Star Wars game.
Now, keep in mind, to provide context here. I have played very few. I have shut the fuck up. I have played very few Star Wars video games. I've played all of the ones that have come out since Disney bought Star Wars and the original Lego Star Wars. Those are the only Star Wars games I've played. Yes, that's bad. I know. So given the games that I have played, the maybe five or six of them went with the original Lego Star Wars.
You know what? That's not a bad pick, though. I mean, you can't beat a classic like that. I mean, it is. Yeah. I do
just
think
call it a classic.
It is a classic.
The original
classic.
Lego?
It's like 20 years old.
The original Lego Star Wars game? Yes.
Yeah,
Longa, I've spoken to people who haven't seen the Star Wars movies who have played the original Lego Star Wars game.
Because there are people who play Legos games. They probably have kids and they play it with their kids, and that's why they enjoy it.
And that's why it's a classic.
But that's why
I sat there and played what my kids. What was that fun game? Viva Pinata? Oh, I love that game because I played it with my kids when they were little.
Goldman. You saw that.
This last super chat's gonna trigger.
I'm gonna go ahead and head out, guys. It's been nice talking to y'all. Have a good day.
Well, I haven't even read it yet. My response on this one is favorite Star Wars game is the first KOTOR game. God, you talk about like storytelling and fun gameplay. What a great fucking game. Shout out to our last super chat question, Brendan Bellman. I love that name, by the way. He's been around for a while. Which is worse, Attack of the Clones or The Rise of Skywalker?
This is hard.
Do we have to give in-depth reasons, hard. Or can we just all say
this is like asking me, do you want a plate of shit with chocolate frosting or with vanilla frosting?
It's like it's exactly how I feel. It's like which one's gonna put me to sleep the fastest? Which one's worse? I'm gonna go attack.
Listen,
the
I'll say this. You see, oh my god.
But see,
Star Wars only. You just posted your rate on Twitter yesterday. And you had Rise of Skywalker last.
Yeah, but this is why. Hang on. Here let me try to. I always go back and forth because yet again, it's like longest saying. It's like you're asking me to compare piles of shit. The Rise of Skywalker sucks because of how many hands were involved, how rushed the production was. You have J.J. Abrams and the worst, one of the worst writers in, you know, movie history, Chris Terrio, involved with these movies. Lucas literally like had to bring someone in to help with the dialogue. Worked for the day the Phantom Menace premiered, he was already writing. He'd already written for like a year for Attack of the Clones. This man spent so much time getting ready for Attack of the Clones, and it still fucking sucked. I mean, how do you do that? It's just, and it revolutionized the film industry with its digital cameras, and it still sucked. It hasn't aged well. I mean, it just looks awful. So I'm sorry, it is Attack of the Clones to me. On a technicality, is worse than The Rise of Skywalker. For my ranking, I put Rise of Skywalker below it just because. Good God, how do you watch that? You know, like I feel like I have more interest in rewatching Attack of the Clones.
You want to stay here another hour?
By all means, hit me with your best shot. I mean, you're the one who's going to be like, "Oh, it's easily Attack of the Clones," and I know you're not wrong.
Yeah, it's easily Attack of the Clones, but I also like the story decisions that JJ had in mind for Rise of Skywalker. So it's easily for me. It's like it's simple as that. I like Rise of Skywalker. Does the execution is out of whack, and the dude had literally a year and a half to figure this story out, and Disney screwed him when they cut. Who knows how long or how many amount of scenes out of his movie. So I feel bad for the man. Poor Terrio is just having nightmare after nightmare with Warner Brothers and Disney. So I mean, forgive me, but I do love the story concepts and ideas of Rise of Skywalker. But Attack of the Clones, I actually don't mind it. I think Attack of the Clones is better than Phantom Menace. Hold on. I take that.
I agree.
It's not better. I enjoy it more. Because even the bad parts of Attack of the Clones are funny. Like I still get enjoyment, but whenever they go to Naboo, I fall asleep. But Rise of Skywalker, Rise is a thrill ride from start to finish. There's not a freaking break in that movie. I don't see how anyone can fall asleep watching it.
There's not a break. It's the fucking pacing. It's just
all right. Let Logan and me give our answers.
For me, it's tight, but I would have to say Attack of the Clones is worse. Slow down, boy. Slow down, buddy. it's not because Rise of Skywalker was so fucking great. It's just because Rise of Skywalker was at least made more like a modern film. Okay, so it has points for cinematography. It has points for camera shots. It has points for that kind of stuff, for lighting and all that other good stuff. Even though a lot of shit sucked as a series, I did enjoy at least Kylo's arc. I enjoyed his arc in this. There was no arcs in fucking Attack of the Clones. It was just fucking horrendous. Okay. Hold on.
Anakin went from hating sand to fighting on the ground
so
of
hard.
Sand at the end.
There was no progression.
Besides.
So it was just can I finish?
We're pissing people off in the comments.
It's like, now you were telling him, let me and Lunga talk just so we could hurry me up so you can talk. There's really not much. There's not much left to it. But no, so Rise is just better for those reasons. It's still a shitty fucking movie from beginning to end, but it also plays into the fact of what the series happened. And that's, you know, maybe it could have been better if the Last Jedi wasn't what the Last Jedi was, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. But for multiple just movie-making points, Rise was better than Attack of the Clones.
All right, Goldman, take us home.
Besides the music, I honestly don't think there's a single thing about Attack of the Clones that's better than Rise of Skywalker.
Damn.
The characters? No. The acting? The acting? No.
Come on, Jango Fett?
The Jango Fett?
Goku? I guess Jango Fett was better in Attack of the Clones than he was in Rise of Skywalker. I'll give you that.
Count Dooku is cool.
all our prequel fans are unsubscribing right now.
I actually like the broad story, but I think
it depends. We're talking about the broad story of the trilogy or just the movie in itself? I think the story of Attack of the Clones, I think, is boring. There's a bunch of systems seceding, and we don't know why. There's like this whole convoluted plot of the clones, and Obi-Wan's an idiot and doesn't realize that this was planned by Count Dooku. So like, no, I mean, there's a love story, I guess. I think, and I might sound a little more harsh on Attack of the Clones because I actually think it's a better movie than Phantom Menace. Because I actually enjoy like at least 30 minutes of the movie. But yeah, I mean, besides the music, I don't know what else is better from.
The only thing that made Dooku so great was that he was played by the fucking magnificent Christopher Lee, right?
No, that's what made him so fucking. He's not great. A villain. He's not a character. He's just thrown in there because George realized he killed off Maul.
There was no Kenobi.
He's like, hey, Kenobi. Dooku. What if the entire thing was controlled by the Dark Lord or the Sith? And Obi-Wan's like, that's impossible.
After Obi-Wan just witnessed all these clones created by some random Jedi that we never learn about, and then he also learns that the person the clones were based off of is working directly with the Sith. What?
Shout out to Brendan for paying the fucking utility bills over here. It's stylistically designed to be that way. We can't undo that, but we can diminish the effects of it. That's Lucas after seeing the
No one answered my question. Can you tell me something that's better in Attack of the Clones than Rise of Skywalker besides the music? Maybe Palpatine? Maybe?
A lightsaber duel? I don't know.
Stop.
Hey, cinematic,
bro. Come on. We got for the first time ever an entire arena filled with Jedi and lightsabers. And it was it was the first appearance of a purple lightsaber.
Did that not get
you? Okay, fair. Rise of Skywalker does not have a purple lightsaber. That is a good
point. Rise of Skywalker has a yellow lightsaber.
Yeah, boom. It evens out.
Was there yellow lightsabers in the prequels?
No.
Nope.
No, you're thinking the Temple Guard in the Clone Wars. Here's what I'll say. Yes, look, Count Dooku and somehow Palpatine return came out of nowhere. Yes, at least Palpatine is an established character with depth behind him already. Count Dooku comes out of nowhere, has nothing to him, and then gets his head chopped off at the next movie.
Like immediately.
Good moment for Anakin. Don't get me wrong, but as a villain coming out of nowhere. I'll take Palpatine all day.
Can we appreciate how Anakin was like, no, I'm not supposed to do that.
I'll give the first.
I may have gone too far in a few places.
I'll give first a PowerPoint. The world building in Attack of Clones was better than Rise of Skywalker. Two things.
Exegol itself and the whole Sith lore, I will take over.
They barely touched on the Sith lore. What are you talking about?
This sounds like a Goldman Palpa memes argument.
The Sith army, the Sith cultists,
Star Wars only. We're kind of out of this
statues,
one.
The statues, the home world of the Sith. Yeah. I mean, come on, we've never seen anything like that in live action.
It's really visuals. I mean, they didn't really touch on it at all.
Korriban, you asshole.
I don't care about Korriban. It's an orange planet. Give me blue, man.
You asshole.
So there we go. Right, I'll give world building and music. I think are better in Attack of the Clones.
You can't appropriate that culture like that, Palpa memes. All right, there's Morriban, there's Korriban. Those are the homes worlds of the Sith. I don't know if you've heard of Darth Bane. All right, the fucker's awesome. Anyways, that's our show. Thank you guys for coming in. Super chats were great. Clearly gave us a lot to talk about. If you're listening on Spotify, please give us a 5-star review. Check us out next Wednesday. We're going to end season 3 relatively soon, just because we got some time between now and August for the Andor series, and take a little bit of a break after we've killed each other over the Kenobi series. But until then, we'll see you guys next Wednesday night. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you all next time. May the Force be with you always.